And I want to thank God for our father and our mommy in the Lord and the leadership of the church for the privilege to be part of what the Lord is doing here today. I also appreciate the leadership of the youth for extending this privilege to us. This would be the third time, if I'm not mistaken, that I will be here. The first two times I came to worship, and all those two times I made sure I came as early as possible. So that is why when we are ministering to youth, we are very conscious, very, very conscious, because we are dealing with generations yet unborn. The theme of the program is the glory of the youth. Now, but I'm first of all going to, I will read the book of Proverbs chapter 20 verse 29, but I'm not going to talk about it. We will lay the foundation. I want to talk at this, within this few time I have before me, I want to talk on the topic pathway into glory, pathway into glory, because we're talking about glory. Now, when I come back for the next session, we'll now talk about the glory of the youth and how you can sustain the glory. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is in their strength, and the beauty of old men is in gray head. Now, that is where the theme is called from. But I'd like for you to please go with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. The man of God, Moses, when he was young like you, when he was young like me, he said a prayer to God. And that is where I want us to start from today. We're talking about pathway unto glory. Exodus chapter 33, I want to read from verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Somebody say, the Lord will show mercy to me. I cannot hear your voice. Say, the Lord will show me mercy. One more time, say it as if you mean it. One more time, say it as if you mean it. All right. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Verse 23, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Hallelujah. Now, Moses, we all know, was one of the men that saw the glory of God in the land of the living. He became what God wanted him to become. Apart from the fact that he desired to be on the promised land, but he couldn't get there, Moses remains one of the greatest leaders Israel ever had. Very great a leader. Today we still talk about him. We have access to the first five books of the Bible because a man named Moses wrote it. Otherwise, the story of creation would have been omitted. That would have caused a crack in the canonization of the Word of God. Otherwise, nothing about Exodus would have been found. We wouldn't have had access to Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and of course, part of Joshua. So that man was very, very great. And that is why up until today, we cannot stop talking about him. He was the one who prayed this prayer. Say, Father, show me your glory. NIV says, now, show me your glory. Now, when Moses asked God that he wanted to see God's glory, he was practically asking that he wanted to see God the way he was. God said, you can't see my face and live. But you see, if you want to see my glory, there are three things you are going to ask, you are going to have to do. And those are the three things I want to talk about now. A man who decides to see the glory of God to justify the essence of his birth,
to become what God wants him to become, to get to where God wants him to get to in life, has to pay the price. And God told Moses, God didn't say, okay, Moses, I'm coming to show you my glory. He said, you want to see my glory, then you have to do something. And those are the things the Lord is placing before us this afternoon. Please go with me to verse number 21. Let's go to verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. A place by me. God said, you want to see my glory? You cannot stay there and see my glory. Come close to me. That's the first prerequisite. For any man who wants to see the glory of God or the land of the living, the first thing is to come near God. The nearer you are to God, the nearer you are to your successes and glory in life. You can't stay there. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay in sin. You can't stay in gambling. You can't stay in courtism and see the glory of God. The brothers and sisters whose faces I am seeing this morning and this afternoon are bundle of glory. How many of you know that you're a bundle of talent and glory? How many of you know that generations yet unborn are waiting to drink from the well of grace on the inside of you? If it is true about you, say yes. I cannot hear you. I can only hear the voice of brothers, sisters. If it is true about you, say yes. All right, brothers, if you know the glory, there is a glory in you that must come forth. Say yes, yes, yes. Yes. So God has programmed you. Some of us, today is Nigeria's independence. Whatever is happening in Nigeria, I have not lost faith or hope in this nation. You know why? It's because of you. Because you are the solution Nigeria is waiting for. Everything this nation needs to get it right is in you. Somebody say, it is in me. The next generation of young vice chancellors, they are here. Young generations of new governors of Nigeria, they are here. Tongue-speaking, born-again governors. A time is coming when we're going to have association of born-again governors in Nigeria. At that time, there won't be EFCC. Because children of God will not embezzle. At that time, there won't be ICPC. Because we will not misuse the privileges of our offices. Because we are discipled. There is a glory that is waiting to manifest on the inside of you. By the mercy of the Lord, you will see it happen. You will see it happen in the name of Jesus. But you see, amen is good. But the first price you must pay is to come near me. That's what God told Moses. You want to see my glory? Come near me. Live where you are to where you are supposed to be. I know you are in church, but you're not in Christ. Yet you want to see the glory of God. It's not going to work. All over the world today, somebody said the richest place on earth is the burial ground. In burial ground, you will see the professors that were meant to be who died without finishing secondary school. In the burial ground, if you go get to graveyard, you will see judges and justices who were meant to be, but she couldn't even get admission before they died. They went into the grave with the glory. Some of them were brilliant. Being brilliant is good. Some of them were handsome and beautiful. Some of them were connected. They had everything but salvation. They were gifted and talented, but they were not saved. They were talented. They were passionate. They had visions. They had passions. They had dreams. They had desires. They had strong and very, very formidable ambitions. But you see, where they stood was a sinking stone. The Lord said to Moses, you want to see my glory? Come near me. And that's the message the Lord is passing across to you today. Come near Jesus. Where you are, you can only see the glory of God in the dream. If you want to see it in reality, come near me. I know you've had many dreams. I know you're looking forward one day to the time when those dreams will begin to come to pass. And according to Luke chapter 1 verse 45, everything God has said about you will come to pass. I said they will come to pass. Or I say to yourself, say everything that the Lord has said about me will come to pass. Look, our generation does not celebrate dreamers. They celebrate performers. And 1 trillion dream is not equal to one single performance. 1 billion dreams are not equal to just one performance. Dream is cheap. Anybody could dream. Anybody could have vision. But for a man to live and see his vision, his dreams come to pass, the Lord says, you will live where you are, you will come near me. That is prerequisite number one. The first thing God told Moses. Let's see the second thing. He said, live where you are, come near me. Where? And stand upon the rock. Everybody say, on the rock. Thank God, God completed that statement. Would have said, okay, what does it mean to start to come near Jesus? Once I'm in choir, I'm already near him. Once I'm a member of the prayer band, I'm already near him. Once I am a preacher, I'm already near God. No, God was specific. Coming near to me means that you stand on the rock. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3, the Bible says, and Jesus is the rock. So coming near Jesus. Coming near God means you accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you stand upon him. When we stand upon any other thing apart from Jesus, it opens us up to disappointment and frustration. When I was in secondary school, right from my GSS 2, I used to have these dreams. Very, very fantastic dreams. And I would write them down. You know, since that time, I would write them down. And when I got to the senior class, I gave my life to Jesus. And that became a trouble between my parents and I. And the trouble was so much that they refused to send me to school. But you see, I was always, each time I was thinking about my education, I'll say, oh no, that is a brother in our family. He's the second born of my mother. He's rich. He was rich enough to finance my education. So all my expectation of my hope, everything centered on him. Each time I would be telling my friends, no, Bradimola has promised that he's going to do this. You know, but you see, I didn't know Bradimola was not meant to live long. You understand? He promised me heaven and earth. But you see, he traveled to the north. He didn't come back alive. And that was the day my hope and aspirations sank temporarily. It slowed me down for some time. Now, that is what a man experiences when you stand upon something different from the rock. If you have a plan, if you have a vision, you are standing upon the rock, the world can shake you. In Luke chapter 6, the Bible gave us a picture of two houses. He said one was built on the rock. And the other one built on the sound. I want to ask you a question. Which one of them was hit by the storm? Which of the two? Eh? The two. Are you sure? All right. But you see, the result was different. One survived, another one sunk. Which one survived? The one on the rock. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no level of faith. I have just told you that you come to Jesus. Being in Christ does not exempt you from going through challenges and your stormy seasons. It is the result that will be different. The children of God will be shaken. The unbelievers will be shaken. We've got to go through our challenges in life. But if you're standing on the rock, you can only be shaken. One day I was praying and I said, Lord, this shaking is too much. This trouble is too much. And God gave me a proverb. God said, when you get home, do this. Get a tin of milk. I said, what shall I do with it? He said, I will tell you. I took that tin of milk. I opened it. Threw it. One thing cutter, I opened it. God said, shake it. I shook it. What happened to the cream? It came up. And the Lord said, the essence of shaking for a child of God is to come up. When you are shaking in life, what is the essence of it? She brings up something in you. It was my shaking that taught me to pray. Even night vigil, if vigils in the church will be dozing. But when I got to the stage in life when my own shaking came, nobody taught me how to fast and pray. Say you are fasting now. You are checking your wristwatch. It is 6 o'clock that will break. That time, I would have even forgotten that it was 9 p.m. You think some people suddenly became prayer machine? It was a particular shaking, some experiences. God, at times, allows us to go through those things so that we will not remain Indomie sisters and vegetable brothers. The top is not meant for people like that. Okay, Dara, Suma, okay, Le. We're coming to talk about the strength of the youth. Because some of us, we just want to be up. Let me be sincere with you. That place you are dreaming of is a very fantastic place. But my brothers, it's not a bread and butter thing. Some of us will have to pray our way to the top. Some of us will have to fight our way to the top. It does not just come as easy as that. I'm going to show you in this passage. But don't forget, coming to Christ is number one. Number two is standing upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. But I've just told you, don't say one guy came to preach in our church today and he said, the moment you give your life to Jesus, you come near Jesus. No problem again, no battle to fight. Jesus has done all your battles. My friend, I didn't come to say that. Because me too, I fought my own, I'm still fighting mine. But the result is that you cannot be uprooted. When the hand of the Lord is upholding a man, there is no Jupiter or the earth that can uproot him. The worst they can do is to shake him. If you believe it, wave your hands. If you just believe what I said, they can only shake you. They cannot uproot it. Uproot you. Say amen if you believe it. That's one beautiful thing about God. They will shake you. They will move against you. Demons will do it. Evil spirits will do it. People will do it. Circumstances will do it. But when you're standing on the rock, for Joseph, the higher the embarrassment, the nearer the palace. The higher the embarrassment, the nearer the palace. I mean, what kind of embarrassment is it? And I should give you food. They collected the food. Oh, those guys, they didn't throw the food in the pit. It was Joseph they threw in the pit. They took everything he went, and they said, okay, they threw him in the pit. From the pit, they brought him up, they sold him. When they sold him, that was an embarrassment, selling a man as if you are selling Ankara. They sold him off. When he got to the place where they sold him to, he started working as a prisoner. He hold Joseph, working as a priest, working as a slave. But you see, somebody lied against him. They didn't give him opportunity to fear hearing. They just imprisoned him. And he was there in that prison. You lied against me. You didn't allow me to talk. You didn't allow me to say anything. You cast me into the prison. That was an embarrassment. He got to the prison. When he got to the prison, some people started dreaming. He was still interpreting their dream. And he said, remember me when you get to the throne. That one forgot. That was embarrassing. But you see, if you look at his life, the higher the embarrassment, the nearer he was moving to the palace. There is someone hearing my voice today. You are standing on the rock. You have given your life to Jesus. But you are going through some shakings of your life. Can I say to you, as a prophet of the Most High God, your destiny will not stop there. Oh my God, your destiny will not stop there. In John chapter 11, they sent a message to Jesus. They said, come, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. That Jesus loves you does not exempt you from your sickness. The sickness may not be body sickness. It may be psychological. It may be marital. It may be financial. It may be whatever. That Jesus loves you does not exempt you from those challenges. It only shows that your destiny will not sink there. I always say to myself, say, Nii, whatever you go through, it will end in praise. Can you preach that message to yourself? Say, whatever you are going through now, or whatever you may go through, everything will end in praise. Hey, sorrow. Mofeke, sositani, let the devil hear now. Are you afraid? Wait. Do you still remember your name? Hey, Ogun said, yeah. Once you remember your name, no wala. If you don't remember your name, just say, Nii Adebayo, all right? That's a fine name to call. Say, Nii Adebayo. Whatever you are going through today, whatever you will go through tomorrow, relax. Because everything, how many things? We end in praise. Preach it to your neighbor. Say, whatever you are going through today, whatever you may go through tomorrow, relax. Because everything with Jesus in your life, we end in praise. If you believe, say amen. That's what I know. It will not end in shame. It will end in praise. In the name of Jesus. That is it. When a man comes to Jesus and he's standing on the rock, God said, Moses, you have to pay that price. Come near me. Fine. Stand on the rock. Don't stand on the sand. It's beautiful and attractive. Don't stand there. Because when storm comes, you won't be able to survive it. And let's now say the third. I'll just talk about three. Let's say the third thing God told him. And it shall come to pass, where my glory passeth, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I spent some time in that verse until I read Yoruba Bible. I know this is, we're talking to youth. I know you don't have Yoruba Bible. But me, I read both. I read both. When I got to that, I read in Yoruba Bible. And the Lord said, I will put you in the cleft. Ino palakpala. And I began to ask myself, why ino palakpala? Eyan fe wonu ogo. Oluwa ni o nigba benyen wa. Ino palakpala ni wa gba wa. There is nobody who is in glory today who had not gotten through his own ino palakpala. It's only the youth of this generation that don't want that to happen. This is our daddy here. Ask him before he became a professor. Let him tell you all the palakpala stages he went through. But the youth now, they don't want to do it. You want to finish the university today? In fact, you want to get admitted today, and 100 or 200 level, you want to start using the best car in the community. That is what we have. That is the sick generation we have. A generation that does not want to sow before the reap. All right? It's a very sick generation. There is no man that is shining in glory today that did not go through his own rough path, his own cleft, or his own cliff. The palakpala thing, when people begin to tell you their story, you will find it difficult to believe. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, the way to glory is not a smooth way. Jesus never promised anybody a smooth path. He promised a narrow path. Look at this beautiful place. Look at the church. Beautiful. But from the road, between Wantiwa Mua to this place, does it look like a neat road? No. One day, I was lodged in a particular place. And I told the guy driving me, I said, sir, are you sure you know the way? He said, yes, I'm following GPRS or whatever. I said, I'm not sure there can be any good hotel in this place. Let's get there first. When we got there, it's one of the best hotels I had ever used in my life. But the road there was very bad. I almost turned back. Why are you turning back today? Why are they not persisting in the word and the counsel of God? Why are they trying Yahoo and Yahoo Plus? It's simply because they don't want to go through their own palakpala stuff. Even God told Moses, with all your anointing, with all your prayer, with all your holiness, God said about Moses, he said Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. That is to say, when it comes to meekness, he was number one. Yet, with all those holy attributes, God told him, you can't enter into glory without going through your own palakpala. Don't want to hear that. That's why several sisters may not get it right maritally, except God intervenes. Because when it comes to marital life, they don't like this idea of bala bala wonu ogo. No. They want a man who's been working before they got admission, or maybe before they were born, that had acquired so much. In fact, that the day he proposes is you hand over the key of a Rolls Royce, if it were possible. They want a man that is okay. They say, I just want someone that is okay. My mommy struggled. I don't want to struggle. My friend, Mori Nakasio. Bakpala pala re la arojo.
koma je pe ojo ale ni wa pada wa gba.
There is no shortcut to glory. Every shortcut will cut short our relationship with God. No faster lane. All these men of God we celebrate today in ministry, in sport, in wherever, listen to their story. They also went through the balabala thing. But brothers, let me preach to you. Let me tell you something. Don't please borrow a fake lifestyle in order to win, to get a yes from a sister. If you are using a rubber-branded phone, rubber-bounded phone, to je pe won si ton te bayi ke se ti won fi cash but if that is what you are using yen na ni ko mu lo sile re nje to ba nlo ko de fi sori table re ko mo bo se je. If he's going to reject you because of the phone, let us know why she's saying yes. Because my friend, don't tell her that to ba de mara phone o ti ridi ku ara re. Because in the next 3, 4, 5 years iPhone 7 will be useless. Very, very soon, we are going to have a phone. Toja wikpe, maka mulawo ba by mani. I want to talk to Daddy Salami. Daddy Salami, I de call phone. Bam, brrr, bam. This age of technology, everything is rising fast. Don't promise that sister. Very soon, toba de mara phone. Rara, otiridi kware. Kishepe wara phone. Wani lese ton produce a phone. Inti morisi aniye. Wani lese ton produce a phone. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Don't ridicule yourself, my friend. If she wants to go because of your phone, let her go. And sister, don't do useless packaging that will run you to trouble, that will put you to shame. Hey, mumsi milongwe, I'm from the UK. To je pe ni sale moda keke. Ni mommy wa ti won den ta mai ati eko won jeje. You don't need him. If he needs a lady whose mother is in the UK, let her go. You understand my point? Because very soon, not only will you have a UK visa, you will have investment and establishment in all those places. If a man is not interested in your palapala story, balapalala sayeda, abatyeje, he will push you. There is no glory without story. Beyan o ba nitan to ba lohun o tan koni pe tan. Koni pe tan. Koni last. There is no one who is in glory today who had never gone. Some people, the palapale they went through. So the day one of our brothers, our pastors, Brother Magbamloye, was sharing his experience of how he got no from one sister, no from another sister. I said, so once a no, siruyinari. So, brother, what do you want to kill yourself? Because that sister said no to you simply because you are in your palapala season. My friend, you know one thing about season of life? They don't require prayers to change. They require time. Can we use prayer to stop rainy season? Can you go to a prayer conference? But Lord, this year, no rainy season. The Lord says in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, as long as the world liveth, seed time and harvest time. So that is to say, olombura niye. Bi mo se wa ti emi mi wa season ma wa. A mango does not need prayer to ripe. It needs what? Time. So don't kill yourself. The equation that time will resolve in your life, prayer may not resolve it. All you need is to take your time. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this to lay a foundation for where we are going during the next session. Don't forget, for a man to enter and to see the glory of God on the land of the living, you have to live where you are, come nearer God. And when you come nearer God, you have to stand on the rock with Jesus Christ. And when you stand on the rock, that you are on the rock, that you are born again, does not mean everything will go smooth for you. You must be ready to endure your palapala season. If God said that to Moses, then who am I? Who am I? If he said that to Moses, Moses, the man who spent 80 days conversing with God on Mount Sinai, mouth to mouth, God said, if there is a prophet among you, I will appear to that prophet in a dream or in a vision. But Moses, I speak with him mouth to mouth. With that pedigree, God still said, Moses, you will come through the pala route. If you are in that season, just stand firm in Jesus. If that is the reason you backslide in your spirit, because you listen to what all the some of your roommates are saying in the hostel. Ah, my popsy bought this for me. My partner bought it for me. See the gift for my birthday. And the one that you are in a relationship with has not even paid his tuition for last session. And yet, one of your roommates is coming and say, he bought me this Apple laptop and he gave me this iPhone 6. Oh, please, oh God, he's just spoiling me. You want to work before now? Hello, brother, it's me. Sherry, that's not right, Daru. Ah, mama, mi jaya. Mi le fe, ni kacho, ni daru, mi be. Eh, le teru, mi be. This relationship is over. Simply because, my friend, that's not enough. There is nobody who is in glory today. Bishop Oyedepo will tell you how many days they want to just relax to your mama Jeko. Himself and the wife. Right now, they have the universities. I was in Afe Babalola University about 9 days ago. When I saw what this man put on ground, I marveled. But when I began to hear his stories, I said, oh God, if you could do this man through the hand of a man who was nothing, who could barely feed, who could barely sustain himself, and he put something like this on ground, then you are not done with me yet. If a man is in Christ, your glory may be delayed. It cannot be denied. Because the God, the manufacturer of it, is living right on the inside of you. Times and circumstances may shake you, but will never uproot you. Let me say this before I close. The power behind you is greater than the forces before you. Whatever force of darkness that wants to uproot you, they will bow before your face. In the mighty name of Jesus. But please, ladies and gentlemen, having vision, I know you have vision. You have ideas, you have plans, you have programs. All of this may end up a mere paperwork. All of this, Naboth had a vision. What was Naboth's vision? The garden he inherited. He wanted to nurture it and hand it over to subsequent generations. But Ahab didn't allow either that man or the vision to live. That is why I'm inviting you to Jesus. If anybody threatens you in Christ or tries to curse you, a curse on the life of a child of God is a mere opinion. It's what? It's a mere opinion. Olorun bless eni kaniko ni da fun o, smile it away. You don't even have to say, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, 7 times, blood of Jesus, 7 times, blood of Jesus, 7 times. When you talk, my friend, you're just wasting your time. It's already settled. Whosoever curses you, the Lord said is cursed. In Psalm 89, only any toba kori rare oluwani emi yo yolenu. O kori rare lason. Kochi gbebon turi e. The Lord says anyone who hates you, he said they will trouble them. When we find ourselves in Jesus, the closer your heart to God, the more realistic it becomes for you to manifest the glory for which God created you. Stand to your feet this afternoon. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Before we begin to talk about the glory of the youth, it's a strength. Let's first of all lay this foundation. The Lord says, you want to see the glory of God, which your ancestors never saw. I was praying a couple of days ago. I said, Lord, if this were possible, do it for me. Bogbo go tie so je ka generations ahead of me come manifest that po mate me. Eh? I was just thinking, I'm thinking aloud like that. There is a glory for which God specifically created you. And I know you have a desire. You have a vision. You have dreams. You have ambitions. You have plans. But where you are standing, the Lord says, I should tell you, it's a sinking sound. The first step you need to take is come near me. Two, stand on the rock. Three, you must be willing and ready to go through the cliffs of life, the raw faces of life. You must be able to endure hardship. The Lord whom we serve, that is the prayer I like most in the Bible. The Lord whom we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not. How many of our youths are praying like that today? They give God ultimatum. Oluwa to ba se oko ti mo fi pe 25 eni to ba wa ko de ko je mari ma bi mo fun wo loju ti yen. Lord, job must come. Oh. Job must come. Oh. If job does not come, where did we find basis for all these prayers in the scripture? Putting God on conditions as if he were your employee. But people said, God is able to provide a job. Even if he does not, I am not ready to falsify my age because I want to pick up a job. The Lord whom I serve is able to provide me this and that. Even if he does not, I am not ready to do this or do that. You come into face-to-face challenges of life like that, that will help you, that will shake you. That will shake you. But when you are shaken and you are standing on the rock, you have a hope that there is a mighty hand, mightier than a hand that is shaking you to keep you and to make you stand. I don't know if all of us here this afternoon understood the angle from which the Holy Spirit is coming. Are you genuinely born again? Have you come closer to Jesus? Somebody said, but I have been in church, I've been ministering. Do you know ministry? Being in church, being on the pulpit, does not even say a man is genuinely born again. He can be real, he can be gifted. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen, he can be gifted. One day when God was going to teach me a lesson about being in church and being in Christ, I learned it in a brutal way. That day I almost shed tears. There was a program I was supposed to attend outside the country, and the first time I went, they did all the packages. So I didn't know this nitty-gritty of all this processing travel documents, whatever. So I just spoke to a bishop friend, and he said, a deacon in my church does it. Just give him all the money, he's going to do everything. I said, okay, I got my visa, but I needed people to do this, do that for me. Book my hotel, do this, my flight. So I gave him the money, and he arranged for the trip. And you know, I was so happy. Oh, I'm traveling. I'm going to that country. When I got to the airport like this, I began to call everybody that I could remember. Hello, so skinny. Hey, welcome on travel. Can you move away? International airport. No, okay, say my wife. International airport. Hey, people, I'm going to the country. Hey, I rejoice with you. I'm sorry. I did it until I had no fire, no power on my phone anymore. And no more credit. I had called almost Mufekwirale. And I met a group of people going for the same program. So we're talking when we get there. This one, I'm going to kill my mama. We were just saying all those sweet nothings because we're excited. So when we were checking, it got to my turn. And I just brought that thing on here for Timo Prince Jade Garagba. Did you confirm your ticket? Confirm. Confirm your ticket. Daddy, I never heard of all those kind of things. Confirm. Ticket. Will not confirm. Excuse me, please go up to room. So, and confirm your ticket. Thank you. Please go with your luggage. What's your luggage? I'm coming here.
I'm coming. Let me just go and get clear what she said I should clear. But they said, oh no, you only made a reservation. You didn't pay. We canceled your seat. Eh? I began to sweat under his seat. I didn't pay. That's much money. I mean, there must be a mix-up somewhere. So I called. Hello, sir. Hello. It's one help up. Yes. Somebody said there's a problem here that you didn't pay. He said, no, this network is bad. Drop, let me call you. I said, okay. I said, sharp though. The network was bad. What did he say? I said was going to come back. 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 7 minutes. I tried to call. The number you're trying to call is switched off. Don't forget, battery meet if I could tell her, tell her. I said, God. So this man scammed me. I went back. I carried one bag, carried another one. My colleagues were already waiting for me. They said, Pastor, what's happen? I said, don't happen. They don't scam Pastor. Sir, but what about this thing? I said, this thing, ordinary paper. Timok bag. Now, ordinary reservation. I didn't check for any. There is no nothing. He took advantage of my ignorance and he handed it over to me. I was looking at my colleagues, checking in. They were waving at me. I carried my bag. I had to look for the nearest hotel in the airport and switch off my phone because if they call me at Ogbomoso, Timotun down Leko, embarrassment. What will be the next line of action? That day, I knew the difference between a booking ticket and mere reservation. Being in church is a mere reservation. Being in Christ is the real booking ticket.
When Jesus appears, he's not going to ask for the number of years you have spent on the instrument. He's not going to ask me, say, Nia de Bayo, how long have you been preaching? No. Every public demonstration and performance will come to a halt. It is my inner life with Christ that determines my eternity. We see what you do. We don't know why you are doing it. Some of us, it is not a work that is wrong. It is the motive. Come to Jesus. It was on the second day that the people who invited me had to organize some other, buy me another ticket that made me to fly. It scammed me like that. What some of us are holding on to? Mere reservation. You can get them to fly when Jesus appears. Come near me. Stand on the rock. I can be this beautiful and have any marital problem. My friend, beauty is ephemeral. If you stand on it, you sink with it. All right? Not all beautiful ladies have good homes. Not all handsome, tall, slim, good brothers have homes. What it takes for a man to see glory is more than what we see on the outside of you. Come near me. Stand on the rock. Endure your hardship. Through this, you will enter into glory. Can I ask you to lift your right hand to the Lord and ask Jesus, Lord, my mind is made up. I am ready to follow you. I am ready to walk with you all my life. I don't want you to say it if you don't mean it. If you mean it, I want you to lift your right hand to the Lord and begin to pray. Oh, Jesus, I am ready to walk with you. I am ready to follow you all the days of my life. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace, Father. Give me grace, Lord, abundant grace to walk with you all the days of my life. To walk with you all the days of my life. To endure challenges, to endure lack, delay, burdens, until I enter into glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I ask you to please close your eyes
so that we can pray together. Somebody is saying, Pastor, give me an opportunity to reconcile with Jesus. Maybe you were once born again, but challenges and the shakings of life have been moving you away, far away from your Savior. Or you have never given your life to Jesus at all, and you want to come near Jesus. I know you have visions. I know your families are waiting to eat from your hands. I know you think so much about how to help people and raise people, how to make impact in your generation. But all those ones can be mere fantasies without Jesus in your life. Are you here? You want to reconcile with Jesus. You say, Lord, people see me as a sister, but I am a sinner. People see me as a preacher, but I know in my heart, my life is not right with God. I want to make my life right before God by confessing my sins to Jesus and asking him to forgive me. If you are saying that, can you put your right hand on your chest and wherever you are standing, begin to pray, oh Jesus, forgive me. God bless you as you do that. God bless you as you do that. Jesus, forgive me. I call you into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Forgive all my sins today. Blot them out with your precious blood. My brother, my sister, God is not looking for somebody to punish. He's looking for somebody to polish. He wants to polish you and make you shine brighter like never before. He's not looking for someone to send to hell. He's looking for people to take to heaven. He's not here to condemn you. He's not here to castigate you. He's here to encourage you. He believes so much in you. That is why he has come to speak to you. That is what is why his words are locating you. Wherever you're standing, you know you are not standing right before God. And you want to say, Jesus, please forgive me my sins. I want you to put your hand right on your chest and begin to say, Jesus, have mercy upon me. Forgive me my sins. From today, give me grace to walk worthy before you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you glory for your sons and your daughters. They discovered one or more sins from which they are willing to turn. But no one can come unto God except Jesus Christ draws him. Oh God, we ask that the precious blood of Jesus will blot out all our transgressions in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us from our unrighteousness in the name of Jesus. We receive grace to walk with you. For all your sons and your daughters that are saying amen to this prayer, receive grace to walk with God. Grace for unbroken relationship and fellowship with Jesus. Receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. As someone listening to my voice here today, you're going through some rough stages of your life. It's so rough that most of the time it moves you to tears. You wonder if God is answering your prayers. If wonder if being born again is even worth it. You have seen some unbelievers around you that are making it, but for you, your life seems to be a little bit bitter or very, very bitter. I bring a word of consolation to your spirit today, that the Lord in his mercy will do something in your life that will encourage you. It will take away your pains in the name of Jesus Christ. It will terminate your struggle. It will give you grace and strength in the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name, O Lord our God. You said to us when we began that whatever we are going through or going through us, we end in praise. Father, let it happen like that. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Put your hands together, please celebrate Jesus.